Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, May the 15th, 2020, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 11, page 157 in A Vision for You, starting with the first paragraph beginning with 2 days later. We'll be reading that one paragraph only, ending with, I was always in a ward before. We will be commenting on this one paragraph. Today's readers are Pam M. for the 12 steps, Karen W. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Julie E. B., Shannon M., and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter today is Colleen M., and Janice P. M. will be doing our announcements. And Lynn S. does the recording. Thank you all for your service this morning. We appreciate it. Glad you're here. Glad we're all here. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, May 14th, 2020, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,626. That's 14626. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, November 15th, 2020, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,631. That's 14631. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Pam M. to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Pam. Star 110, meet Pam.
Blessed morning, everyone, from the beautiful Adirondack Mountains of upstate New York. This is Pam M. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
And thank you, Pam M. Karen W. is going to read our 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, everybody. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Karen W., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting just focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the person speaking should be muted, and that means the mute button on your phone, the personal one. So please use star 1 to mute and unmute. We'd appreciate that. Thanks for your cooperation. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 57, the first paragraph, 2 days later, and that one paragraph ending in, I was always in a ward before. So we'll now, Julie E.B., start reading, please. Julie, good morning.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. 2 days later, a future fellow of Alcoholics Anonymous stared glassily at the strangers beside his bed. Who are you, fellows, and why this private room? I was always in a ward before. A small paragraph, but a one full of hope. there was someone who was hopeless, and 2 days later, after being in a private room, this future fellow, his eyes still gazing glassily, still, perhaps in stage of withdrawal, is looking at strangers, but he's also a future fellow. How could strangers become future fellows? It's really hard to imagine. And how can strangers become future fellows? It's hard to imagine, but that's what I've seen. And it's beautiful how they go right to the bedside. You know, this bedside is where you're going to find people who are sick. And I was just talking with someone this morning, you know, about the fact that we are all sick. And so, especially when we're in this phase of the disease, there's going to be a lot. And he is kind of a belligerent fellow. Who are you? A belligerent question. Who are you fellows? Why this private room? You know, someone suggested earlier today that that might be a place you take people to die. I was in a ward before. Everything is going to be different than before. And I'm glad to say today that living several years recovered, it is a beautiful thing to not live in a ward. I have times I go back to the ward. I have times that I am not doing the things that I need to be doing. But so often, it's so beautiful that I can live in a new reality, that I can move back into either into this work of letting go of fear and guilt and resentment, and releasing those and letting God remove fear and anger and guilt, or I can be deepening that relationship that begins when I'm just willing to consider there might be a power kinder than myself, greater than myself, more beautiful than the way that I talk to myself, and then being useful and of service to others. And in these times with big problems and big issues, I had the privilege yesterday to walk, 2 days ago, to walk beside one of the patients. I was the last face he saw before he was intubated. I facilitated a call with his family members as he had COVID-19, and I prayed for him. And sorry, I'm going to go just a second over. I got to walk next to him. And as he walked into freedom, he said, "I'm not a religious guy, but this is a miracle." 2 months later, he went home. And so there are still miracles in this age of struggle. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Julie B., for getting us started. So again, we're reading Chapter 11, A Vision for You. We're on page 157, the first paragraph, 2 days later. We're going to read that one paragraph only. I was always in a ward before, ending with that. And I just want to mention that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order for others might share their experience, strength, and hope too. And that includes all meetings of A Vision for You. So we really appreciate that. So who would like to share this morning?
Lisa G.
Sandy K.
Lisa G, Sandy K,
Eileen G,
Eileen B,
Mary G.
I'm sorry, did you say Eileen B?
No, M.
Eileen, oh, Eileen M. Eileen, okay. Okay, who's next?
Mary G.
Mary D.
G, as in grateful.
Oh, awesome. I'm grateful to you for you too, Mary. And who is right behind Mary?
Heather W.
Heather W. Okay, so I have our lineup here. We have Lisa G., Sandy K., Eileen M., Mary G., and Heather W. All right, Lisa G., please go ahead, followed by
Sandy. And Natalie B., if possible.
Okay, well, Natalie, we'll take you on the next round, okay?
Okay,
can't
great.
Take you on
Perfect.
This one, but I'll take you on the next one. All right. So, Lisa G., you're followed by Sandy K. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, Sherry. Thank you so much. This is Lisa G. from Texas. And what I thought about when I read this earlier this morning was, you know, when I first got in a 12-step program for food addiction, I lost a lot of weight very quickly. And I'm in a position where I see people, the same people, every month or so because I'm a hairdresser. So, It was interesting because, you know, they saw me once a month, and when you lose weight like that, I lost 90 pounds in like 10 months, and it was very, very fast. And, you know, people started to ask me. And when they ask you, "What are you doing?" You know, we always do that. "Oh, you've lost weight. How are you doing it?" You know, and I would just tell them I'm in a 12-step program for food addiction. And then it got kind of weird because I lost so much weight so fast. They started thinking, people were asking me if I had cancer. But now, here all these years later, it's like 13, 14 years later, you know, there's not a change. And so it's been a little harder for me because, you know, I see a lot of people out and about grossly obese, and I know they, I just know they can't be happy. They just can't, you know, lugging 100, 200 pounds around. And I've never gone up to anybody like that and said, hey, I've got an answer for you if you want it. So, you know, in lieu of doing that, when people talk to me and they go, hey, you know, do you want a cookie? Do you want, you know, offer me food or whatever? And I say, no, no, thank you. I'm in a 12-step program for food addiction. And so I don't, there are certain things I don't eat. And that's how I sort of open up the talk, because I've never thought about like going into a hospital. I mean, I'm going to think about doing that now and seeing if there's some ward with people that have eating disorders. I think that would be really cool, but it's a little harder. And I, you know, I don't know why, but like, I just, you know, if somebody just came up to me out of the blue when I was heavy and said, hey, do you want an answer to your, you know, fat problem or something? I don't know. But anyways, yeah, it's a little harder to share about weight because it's a very, very touchy subject, because it's very entwined with our egos, and self-esteem and denial is super strong in a compulsive overeater too. So, but I just think, you know, I like to talk about it. I talk about it with my clients. I talk about it with my friends, this, what I'm learning in my 12-step program, so that they know it's there. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa G. Sandy K., you're up, followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sandy K., recovered compulsive eater from rainy South Florida. It always amazes me that we can read a paragraph that's like two sentences and we could spend an hour sharing on it. That's how rich the text is. And what I got out of this paragraph was, when the future fellow woke up and looked around, he was in a private room. What happened was they took him out of the ward and put him in a private room. And there, he was the target, so to speak, of people that wanted to help him. They were laser focused on his recovery. And when I go to a face-to-face meeting, that's what my sponsor says she does. And I do that when I was going to face-to-face meetings. I laser focus on that newcomer or the one that's struggling. There's always a tendency to hang out with my friends, and I do that too, but that's the most important person in the room, because without that person recovering, selfishly, there may not be a meeting. First meeting I ever went to, there were about 80 to 100 people, and many, many years later, that meeting doesn't even exist anymore. But I remember that first meeting, somebody came over. I said I was new. It's my first meeting. Someone came over and said something to me, and I actually don't remember what they said. This is literally 35 years ago. But I don't even remember who it was. I know that somebody made me feel so welcome, probably for the first, maybe first time in my life. So laser focusing on that newcomer. And today, with the people that are new on the line, you know, and the other meeting before this where we call the newcomer, that's how we spread the word. Thank you for sharing, letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Sandy K. And Eileen M., you're up, followed by Mary G. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Sherry. This is Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire, and What this reminds me of, the ward, is he was in a ward before, but now he's in his own room, which, you know, it's private, and he gets, you know, it's better for getting one-on-one attention, really. And what this reminds me of is, you know, what a miracle that these two men, or these men, came together. You know, and that reminds me of the beautiful life that has come to me as a result of putting myself in God's hands. You know, and that my life today is so much better than I could have planned. And, you know, yesterday I was celebrating because I have an anniversary of back-to-back abstinence, entire abstinence for the past 4 years. And, God, that never would have happened until I came into, you know, the Vision for You rooms. It's just incredible. Because, you know, nothing really ever worked for me before. I had been in OA for a long time. And, you know, since that 4 years ago, I've gone through the steps twice. And, you know, I 2 years ago, I took a deeper dive into the steps, and there was an even better transformation. And I'm just so grateful for that. And the other thing I wanted to say is I have friends that are so upset about COVID-19 and, you know, about having to stay home, and they're going stir crazy. And, you know, I'm so grateful because of this transformation process. I have been very peaceful and serene. And I used to have a very hard time staying home alone during the day. And I'm just very comfortable now with it. And I'm very grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eileen. Mary G., you're up, followed by Heather W. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, everyone, for your service. I'm Mary G., a recovered compulsive overeater in Mesa, Arizona. And this paragraph reminded me of the woman who first told me about OA. And she was someone that was working with a group that I was part of as a facilitator. I really did not know her very well, but she had worked with us for probably over a year and took me aside and said, you know, I noticed that you kind of are struggling with weight issues, and I, you know, would like to say that, you know, the 12-step program has a component for overeaters. And I remember being kind of upset or offended that she would even suggest that I might need a help, you know, but as I thought about it later on, I just said thank you, and she, you know, she left. But I remember later on thinking, maybe I should try this out. And so I looked into it. And to tell you the truth, the only reason I went to OA was because it was free. You know, at that time, the commercial weight loss program was more than I could afford. And I just thought, I'm not going to be throwing money down the drain again. So I went to OA. And, you know, 25 years later, I remember when I celebrated my 25th anniversary in OA. And at that time, I was recovered. I thought, you know, I should look up and see where this woman is and just thank her for saying that to me, because she really planted that seed. And so I looked her up, and she was unfortunately in a facility, and a caregiver of hers called me back and said that, you know, she would let her, you know, she had let her know my message, but she did not remember me. And I thought, well, you know what? It was really okay. This woman had such an impact on my life, and yet she didn't remember me. And, you know, in the past, I would have been like, well, how could she not have remembered me? I mean, you know, it was all about me. But it made me just so grateful that, you know, whether I remember someone or not, or whether I know that I've planted a seed, you know, it's just my business to share my experience, strength, and hope. And that's why I always carry a picture of me, my before picture, so that I can show people who say, I don't believe you were ever fat. I'm like, oh, yeah? Let me show you. And they're like, I don't believe that's you. I can't believe that's you. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And so I'm grateful to that woman who, you know, planted that seed for the 12-step program and had the courage to do it, because believe me, I didn't take it that great. But again, you know, with the private room, she took me aside. She didn't say it in front of the whole group. And so, you know, I wasn't embarrassed or, you know, having to answer her right then and there. And, you know, I look it back and say, wow, my life is transformed because of that, you know, advice. And so I just am grateful for these meetings and grateful to anyone who I can give this message to. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary G. and Heather W. Before we hear from Heather W., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 157 in Vision for You, chapter 11, and it's 157, the first paragraph, beginning with 2 days later. And I'll take more names after Heather W. shares. Good morning, Heather.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. I'm grateful to be on the meeting today. And, yeah, grateful for this paragraph, as was already shared. You know, it's so short, what, two or three sentences, but so much is in here. And the first thing that really pops out to me is that phrase, a future fellow. You know, I came into the program so alone, and I was young. I went to my first OA meeting at 21 years old, so young, but I felt so alone. You know, just so alone. It was like me in the bed with the binge and the Netflix and just like the food, you know, and felt so alone. So to know we're future fellows, that there's a fellowship. And I've been so blessed to, you know, really get a fellowship of recovered people around me, of women that I wouldn't know otherwise, probably would never talk to, and that we're all, you know, like trudging this path together. You know, they've recovered, and then they work with people who get to recover, and it's just a beautiful thing. And then the other thing that really stood out to me was the, you know, stared glassily at the strangers besides the bed, because I've been the one in the bed, you know, staring glassy-eyed. I've been the one in the food fog, you know. I think about times where I'm on the couch with the boxes and the bags all around me and just in a total, you know, comatose, just a total stupor over the food. I've been there, but how beautiful that I never, ever, ever have to go back there again. You know, never have to do that again ever in my life. I can be recovered, you know. It's just so great. And then as people were sharing, I think about carrying the message, you know, and I know number one, attraction, not promotion. So I have to live my life and be in the world in a way that shows people, yeah, that this big book has something to offer. You know, I've heard people say before, I may be the only big book people see. But it's so amazing when people do ask me, because people were asked, oh, you know, you don't eat this, what's up, or this and that. But I'm able to give an answer. Yeah, you know, I'm in a 12-step program for food addiction, and I can leave it at that, you know. And for a long time in OA, because I was in OA a long time, you know, sat in the rooms before I recovered, had the quote-unquote food flips, all of that. And then I finally got the message, but I felt shame sometimes, you know, like I didn't want to tell people. And again, I'm young, I didn't want to tell people. But now it's really nice. Like I can say that, you know, I can be authentic and live in my truth. And I know I've planted seeds with people who have asked me, and because they've seen me, is this, you know, young person of color in the room, that there's a place for them too, and that it can work for them as well. So really grateful for that, and I appreciate you all letting me share.
Thank you, Heather W. And so now I'll take some more names. I already have Natalie B. Who else would like to share this morning?
Leah P.
Did you say Leah P?
Yes.
Roz G.
Linda
Ronnie
P.
Linda?
I'm sorry, two came in together.
Ronnie B.
Okay.
Linda P.
And I'll take one more.
Carlo.
Carlo in the first initial of your last name?
P.
Okay, we got some P's going here. Okay. I have Natalie B., Leah P., Roz G., Ronnie P., Linda P., and Carlo P. All right. Natalie, if you go first, then we'll have Leah go after you. Good morning, Natalie.
Okay, great. Good morning. Hi. My name is Natalie, recovering compulsive overeater. Really grateful to be here this morning. Wow, you know, I was going to talk about something different but related. But then, you know, as people were sharing, I was reminded of how people, you know, I was going to talk about how I got reached, but I was very emotionally reminded of how I found my way to OA. And I am so grateful because I was in denial, you know, and I was living in New York City at the time and I was out of control, you know, and I had tried everything, you know, like in that city of fads, and it would go from food to fads, to food to fads, to food to weight loss fads, and I couldn't stop. And I was in CODA, you know, for a long time, for like so many years, and I would see the OA people come through and I said, I'm not that person. And then it was so gentle how my higher power, you know, brought some people around me and they were so gentle. I cannot believe it. I didn't realize it until now, except that I was out of program and I came back in and really worked steps with a sponsor. And I hadn't done that 3 years ago when I had tried OA. And so I remember 5-6 years ago, I remember this girl who was in it and she really struggled with eating disorders. And she was like, Natalie, I think this could be for you. And she was so nice and she was so kind. And I was so nasty. And I was so, no, that's for other people. And when I walked into OA, the relief I felt, the compassion I felt, I remember I had never walked out of a 12-step program and cried. You know, I walked out and the emotion just hit me like it was visceral. And I always remember that because then I knew something was clicking. You know, I was still struggling in that denial, still struggling in many ways, but something, you know, for the first time ever with my food, there was this realization that I could get better and I could talk about this and I could heal and I could move forward and I could get sanity and I could get out of denial and get real. And so I'm so very grateful at my abstinence, my sobriety, my progress, not my perfection, means so much to me. And so that's what I've got and that's what I wanted to share. And I'm so grateful for outreach that I got when I needed it in the way that I got it. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Hey, Natalie B. Leah P., you're up, followed by Roz G. Good morning, Leah. Leah P.? Star 1 to unmute, please. Can you hear me?
Hi, do you mean...
sorry about that, I thought I was unmuted. Oh, it's Leah.
Go ahead, Leah.
Can I go ahead? Okay, thank you. Sorry, I was unmuted. Yeah, Leah T. from Northern California, recovered compulsive eater, and I just love this paragraph, and it said before that it's so short, but it says so, it speaks volumes, right? And it says about Anonymous, that future fellow of Alcoholics Anonymous, right, after Bill and Bob, and here's the next, you know, alcoholic who comes along, and he stares glassily, right? This is something completely new, right? He's baffled, he's confused. You know, he's tried everything. Nothing's helped him to stop drinking, right? He's seemingly hopeless. And that's how we come into these rooms, right? We have tried everything, you know, just like the pioneers who suffered from that hopeless state of mind and body, right? We come on these phone lines. We're baffled. We're confused. We're completely, you know, out of ideas, really, to stop how, you know, the insanity of our compulsive eating. But we can kind of gather from this that, you know, if it can happen to this alcoholic, you know, who seems seemingly hopeless, it can happen for us, right? And that's why we're out there on the front lines. We're on these phone lines. We're out in, like I said before, I should get out into the hospitals, call therapists, you know, wherever we see, maybe in gyms and fitness. And why? Because we carry a message of depth and weight like nobody else does. Nobody understands the compulsive eater like we do. Nobody gets it, right? It doesn't matter if you're a doctor out there. Unless you're really a compulsive eater, you don't get why you can't stop, right? And that's us. And we can see that he's here something new. He's hearing something new. He's just about to hear something new. And that's what happens for us, right? There's something new out there. We've tried everything, nothing there. And then somebody who has been in those same shoes comes along, carries a message of hope and depth and weight. And it was said before, it's attraction, right? It's attraction, not promotion. And that's what we do. And I thank you so much for letting me share today.
Thank you, Leah P. And Roz G., you're up, followed by Ronnie G. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Just to say that I have 10 months of pure abstinence now after 15 years of relapsing in and out, you know, being a chronic relapser. I have 10 good months. And what has happened over these 10 months is incredible. But what I want to say about this paragraph is that this reminds me of the prodigal son and how he was treated so terribly, but his father brought him back with love. And we go to see people to do 12-step calls with love, not with condemnation. And I did one of those 1 year. I was just doing regular OA meetings. It doesn't matter, though. This is all OA. And one of my partners and I in the program went to go see a lady who was bedridden and got to talk to her about the program. And it was just, you know, so, I don't know if I have the word to describe, so beautiful to go to someone, you know, rather than being in the meeting, to actually get in the car and have a purpose. The lady did end up dying of gangrene of the intestine. She had, you know, the effects of overeating had just killed her. We all probably all know somebody like that. But the thing about the private room is that, yeah, we've ravaged our bodies. Our problems were of our own makings. I had the fork went into my mouth with my hand, you know. But OA doesn't treat me bad and say, well, you did this. It's your fault. No, it's like, come put your hand in mine. I understand where you've been, and I want to help you. And as glassily, you know, with this last round, go around with the steps that I've been doing, I'm on step 8 now. I just made out my list of amends. And how glassily, how I didn't realize how envy, jealousy, and pride ran my life, and how I harmed myself so many times by comparing myself to others. What a harm I've done to me. You know, not being grateful for the body that I've been given and taking care of it. But no condemnation anymore. Now I know better. So I'm grateful for vision for you. I'm eternally grateful. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Raj G. And Ronnie B., you're up, followed by Linda P. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie, compulsive overeater, Missouri. I love that the paragraph was short because that gives me a focus point. And for someone like me, that's what I really need to do in studying the big book, is actually study it in the smallest possible parts so I can absorb it. I was thinking as the paragraph was being read, that years ago, I would love a paragraph like this. Why? Because I was never in a ward. So for my eating disorder, I've been in a ward. And I was thinking that in the old days, I would be saying, well, when I ever get into a ward, then I'll start looking into making changes, but not until then. And I'm just so glad that that level of obnoxiousness and denial and unawareness has been transformed into, oh my gosh, let me be grateful I'm here today and I'm getting what I'm getting, because the elevator goes all the way down, then the sub-basement, and so forth and so on. And that I got off where I got off. And if I don't continue to work this program, the ward is waiting for me. You know, someone said to me years ago, you know, Ronnie, it's not just about the not yet, what hasn't happened yet, but for you, you should be thinking about the agains. God, if I go back out there and eat, I'm going to be full of remorse again. I'm going to go into self body shaming, even if nobody else does. I don't need anyone else to do that. I do that by myself. I'm going to go into all of the regrets and the self-hatred, you know, and the frustration of pulling my hair out of my head thinking, oh my God, how is this going to get better? You know, and of course it didn't, because I wasn't working a rigorous program. You know, I'm one of those people that has been around. And for periods of time in OA, for over 30 years, right? And now I'm just past the 6-month mark again in this program, and it was definitely a traction. You know, I was getting on a lot of meetings, a lot of phone meetings. I do a lot of meetings. But when I started to become conscious of the vision meeting and how there is an outline approach to this, someone like me has to have that form of structure. Someone like me has to be accountable. And in fact, you know, I've read the big book for years. I'm in another program for 38 years. Okay, Thank you for all of your service. I'm done.
Thank you, Ronnie. Linda P., you're up, followed by Carlo P. Good morning, Linda. Star 1 to unmute, Linda P. Linda P.? Okay.
Hi there. Hi, thank you. I've got it now. My name is Linda P., and I live in New York City, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And a number of things struck me. The first was that this person was a future fellow of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he didn't look like one initially. And I think that's really true, you know, that anybody, even those people who look like they can't get abstinent can. You know, I really do believe that. And I'd had a lot of years in OA, and I felt at the time that I came to Vision for You, I really felt like, oh, dear God, another thing. Am I just going to keep relapsing? And I'd had periods of abstinence for sure, long periods, but in the last years, no, not so much. And the woman that had volunteered on the phone line to be a sponsor said she worked with chronically relapse. I forget exactly how she said it, but that was me. And it was such a relief. And she really did, you know, get who I was and could really speak to me. And that just gave me so much hope. So I do believe all of that, that anybody can get abstinent no matter where they're at. You know, we do the steps and we follow the directions. And the last thing that I thought of was when my father's brother was dying of this disease. He was so obese. I mean, I don't remember the exact amount. It was maybe 500 pounds. He was in the hospital. And at that time, I had had a long period of abstinence. And my dad came to me and just said, whatever you're doing, I want to tell, you know, Bill about it. And, you know, can I have some things to read? And my dad read everything. And then he talked to his brother. And, you know, I was so honored that he would do that and that he saw recovery. But, you know, he probably wasn't the one to do it, you know, and as we see later in the story, you know, it takes one, you know, compulsive eater talking to another, one alcoholic talking to another that really, really gets to our hearts. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Linda P. Carlo P., you're up, and we'll see if we have time for a little another share. Carlo, good morning. Carlo P.? Carlo?
Hi, can I be heard?
I can hear you now. Go ahead, please.
Great, great. Hi, my name is Carlo from Los Angeles, and I'm really grateful for this meeting. And enjoy the paragraph, too, talking about, you know, being 12-stepped and whatnot. And today I'm celebrating 11 years of abstinence or just recovery, being recovered in my food program. And, you know, it really, it's making me, this chapter is just making me think about the people that have reached out to me. And it's really special because I remember going through so much in the early days, you know, just going to doctors, going to psychologists, psychiatrists, and usually what would end up being said is, you know, it's just a psychosomatic problem, and, you know, you're just making it worse through your own kind of weird psychosomatic issues that you're having or whatever it is. And, you know, it end up oftentimes just being left at that or go take a medication or whatnot. And just kind of this huge disconnect. So this program is huge because, you know, I did get to connect with people around it and get given the lineage that has been handed down throughout the years. And, you know, usually when I'm taking someone through it and I'm reading about the, so I don't know why the doctor's opinion always gets me. And especially because considering, you know, I had a lot of digestive problems and stuff as well that were going on with all my eating, you know, compulsive eating. So it was really confusing, and I almost cry almost every time that I read the A Vision for You, especially with sponsees, because it's like one of the best doctors you know, in America, potentially the world, for helping alcoholics was actually jumping on board with them and supporting them. And, you know, usually, you know, I don't know, but as a whole, it seems like doctors just stick to what they know and what they're good at. And if they don't know about something, they often don't, you know, give any credit or validity to it, that it works. So to, that just shows how powerful this spiritual program is, that it actually brought someone like that in, and that we have the support of someone like that. And, you know, these sort of magical things are what have made this program so strong. So I'm grateful to be a part of it one day at a time. And yeah, thanks for letting me share.
Hello, and I do have time for one more 3 minutes here. Who would like to take that? Who would like to jump in? Any takers? Maybe not.
It's Pam M.
Pam M. Go ahead, Pam.
Okay. Hi, thank you. Yeah, I am feeling really grateful for the ease and ability to find sponsees and other people to work with in this modern age of technology. We can, and on a vision for you, as we're all going to find out in a few minutes, you have an opportunity to put your name out there as a sponsor. We don't have to go to hospitals or call doctors and psychiatrists and whatnot looking for sponsees. And yeah, this is a really, I can't even imagine being in that situation of needing to look that hard to find people to work with. Yet this is the very grassroots beginning of the power of the 12 steps. And really, this is the development of step 12, where Dr. Bob and Bill realize we have to keep working with other people. You know, we can't stop here. And it helps me to remember how much I get out of working with sponsees. It's just so rewarding and enriching to continually review the material, to witness their transformation, and to feed and nourish, feed and nourish my own recovery. And that's all I've got for today. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Pam M. And we're going to go ahead and close. I want to thank Team Friday for their service. Pam M., Karen W., Julie E. B., Shannon M., Jordan L., Colleen M., Janice P. M., and Lynn S. Thank you all for your service this morning. So now we will be hearing from Shannon, who's going to help us close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Would Shannon please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Shannon?
Thanks. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in